Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lutz, and joining me on the line today is Robin Chetty. And Clinton Matos.
Hey, that's me back again. What's up, everybody?
How has everybody's faux long weekend been?
Yeah, I've been working the whole time doing assignments, so it's been a long weekend, but it means a long weekend of instead of doing one kind of work, I did another kind of work. So, oh my God, always complaining.
And Robin, how was your long weekend, quote unquote? I know we worked on Monday, but how was your long weekend?
Could always be longer.
Of course. All right. So it was a bit of a long week last week. Huawei actually showed off a new phone, Robin.
I guess we recorded last week Wednesday, and then on the Thursday, that's when Huawei revealed their new Mate 30 series. And I know we've chatted quite a bit about Huawei in the past few months, more recently around their whole Google and Android and the US and that kind of whole debacle. And unfortunately, it's having a significant effect on their devices. So they revealed the new Mate 30 series. We were fortunate enough to attend a local event where they kind of beamed in the live stream. Essentially, nothing happened. The unfortunate thing is that to pretty much remain tight-lipped. They have very little information as to the status of the device. We're talking about pricing, availability, whether or not it's going to be running Google Apps when it does, if it does actually come to South Africa. So yeah, it's event. There's lots of great hardware to get excited about, but in the same sentence, you kind of have to worry about whether that hardware is going to be scuffed by the fact that the software is not going to be up to par.
Well, that was something that I kind of picked up, was that they were very tight-lipped about the whole Android situation and whether they would have official Google apps. Did you get any kind of word from that, from the local representation?
So a local representation is pretty much putting up when it comes to any kind of questions around that. At the same time, they are kind of, that's what kind of the global execs are saying. So yeah, since we kind of asked them on last week Thursday and the follow-ups we've had since then, they've had to remain tight-lipped, which is really unfortunate because Huawei as a brand has really grown in leaps and bounds over the past few years, and now all of that is in jeopardy because of the whole situation with Android and official Google apps. And I think just to perhaps clue up listeners, from what I understand is that the device itself, the Mate 30 and the Mate 30 Pro, will be running Android Q, Android 10, as it might be known as well. But official Google apps, then less likely they'll actually be running. I know there was a report by Forbes earlier this week that mentioned that, cited Richard Yu, the CEO of Huawei's mobile business, that people will be able to use, a bootloading system, that whole Google app issue. That has been scrapped. He was, not misquoted, but he was misinformed about that.
That sucks.
Ability.
A lot of people, have been asking for the bootloader to be unlocked, and they kind of thought they would get that in return for the limited Google support. So now they're not getting either, which sucks.
It's a really, for lack of a better term,
train wreck.
I'm not too sure where Huawei's going to turn right now, because I think outside of China, where I guess they have their own kind of app ecosystem and things are well supported by Chinese-made apps. Outside of that region, not having Google apps available, things like Maps, Gmail, Chrome, those kind of core apps not being available on your, even the Play Store, not having those apps available on your device, ability to actually perform in the market. And that's a real pity, because on the face of it, the Mate 30 series is sporting some really impressive specifications.
Well, that was something I saw was we ran a poll last week, just after the phone was announced, where we asked people whether they would still use the phone and make a plan, or whether the lack of Android apps put them off. Or, and people seem to be like, okay, cool, well, we'll make a plan. But just talking from experience, a few years ago, I used a brand of phone called Meizu that didn't have Android apps installed out of the box, and I had to sideload them, and it was a mission. Like, just for something as simple as getting an app update, I would have to go onto an APK site, make sure I had the right version. It's a pain in the butt.
I also wonder, try and circumvent whatever Huawei or Google has in place, avoiding any warranties when it comes time to repair the device. That's also a big concern for me, and that's also one of the questions that are being left unanswered at the moment.
But beyond that, like, what happens if I'm using my banking app and, like, I don't have official Android access on this Huawei, and I use my banking app and I get hacked? What happens? I mean, there's just so many questions about this whole situation and very few answers.
Yeah, it's a real pity also, because kind of when the first instance of Google suspending their Huawei's Android license first came out, a couple of weeks after that, Huawei invited us in to actually chat about the situation, and they seemed really positive. It sorted out. Didn't get that feeling at all when I was at their offices last week. So, yeah, it's a really... the specter of doubt that's hanging over everything. And I mean, if, for example, the situation doesn't get sorted out, say, for example, next year, when their P series comes out, which is easily their best-selling device.
Yeah.
By then, Huawei runs a serious risk of slipping further down the smartphone maker kind of list. And currently, they're sitting behind Samsung at number two. And I mean, had this whole Google issue not come up, they probably would have overtaken Samsung at number one. So now they run the risk of falling behind Apple again, and perhaps even some other kind of Chinese manufacturers.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some reports saying that they could fall behind the likes of LG, which is like, okay, that's serious. Nothing against LG. I'm just saying that, like, they're not as big a player as, like, the Huawei, Samsungs, and Apples of the world.
So, yeah, to kind of say that the Mate 30 series is a great phone, and on paper it is. Clarity in terms of the app ecosystem and how the operating system is going to work, case for it at the moment.
Well, I guess we'll have to see then. Hey, do we know if it's coming to South Africa, Robin?
Unfortunately, that's unconfirmed. From what we've heard is that it will launch, the rumors that we've heard is that it will launch in China initially. And we could be looking at a November or possibly even December launch for South Africa, kind of negotiate these whole issues with Google and Android, and try to find a fix.
Okay.
Well, it's the waiting game again, eh? Feels like we check on this every few months, and then the answer's the same. Just wait and see.
It's unfortunate.
Absolutely. Right. So from uncertainty in China to comics in Africa. Clinton, you were at Comic-Con Africa this week.
What a segue, Brendan. Very good. So before I get into it, did both of you go?
Yes. So I went yesterday.
Robin, did you?
Monday, yeah.
Okay, so before I get into what I thought, because I wrote a few stories, what did you guys think? Let's start with you, Brendan, because we were discussing this before the mics went hard.
So I thought it was better than last year. I thought there was more to do. But I don't know if that was just because it was split between so many, like, halls. I like the fact that I could go outside and sit in some shade. I think overall it was better organized than last year. I had fun. I thought it was good.
And you, Robin, what did you think of it?
Yeah, my initial impressions was not that great. I don't know if it's perhaps a symptom of being a tech journalist and attending so many of these kinds of events that you get a little bit cynical and everything starts to feel the same. That was, I guess, my initial impression. But what kind of changed my mind was the Business of Gaming Forum, which I attended on Monday. And, two developers in the esports scene for Africa, one guy from Egypt, one guy from Ghana. And they were kind of chatting about Comic-Con Africa and kind of how important it is for the continent and how they would love to have an event of this scale. And I think it kind of clicked in my mind that we kind of take things a little bit for granted here in South Africa. I know that, and I'm, I guess I'm talking from the esports scene here, that we kind of look to the US and UK and Europe, kind of see and always kind of question, why isn't our scene as good as that scene? But if we look at South Africa in terms of the rest of the continent, we are streaks ahead of everyone else. So I think, okay, is that this is only the second year. It's developing. It is getting better. The venue this time was a lot bigger. Like Brendan said, a lot more to do. And I think the fact that they had developed an app specifically for people to, I guess, get the most out of the experience for it was really helpful. So is that if Comic-Con Africa is going to be taken seriously in the next coming, in the next few years, they need to try and do more to get bigger name talent to the country. Whether that's Marvel perhaps revealing some exclusive footage for an upcoming movie or something like that, I think if it's going to be a proper Comic-Con, it needs to have those kinds of elements. For right now, it just feels to me like Rage, Rush, and Geek Fest, just kind of all joined together.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said, Brendan. That's exactly what I said again before the call started, that it was better than last year. Yeah, I'm getting to my conclusion before I even discuss the rest of it, but it's better, but it's still not unique enough to differentiate itself from its last year and the other conventions that happen in the country. So let me give everybody a quick rundown if you're completely lost and out of the loop here. Comic-Con Africa 2019 happened over the past long weekend. There were a few big differences compared to its first outing last year. The first one is that it moved venues. It's now at the Gallagher Convention Center, which is bigger, and they took up the six halls that are available there. So there was more space, there's more to look at, there was more to walk around. There were lots of places to sit and to eat, to, you know, get away from how busy it was. It was very busy, depending on which hall you were in. And and it was also the other big change is that it wasn't just a three-day event like these things usually are, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was 4 days because of Heritage Day happening yesterday on Tuesday. So it went Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So it was a big four-day, I wouldn't call it like a festival vibe because festivals are usually longer than that. But yeah, it was longer than the usual convention of this type. And I wrote a few stories. You can go check them out. I checked out the cosplay. I wandered the halls for, I think, a good 4 hours asking people if I could take the picture. There was a lot of great cosplay as always. I think there was a lot more people in cosplay, but I don't know if that's just because there were more people overall. The last time I went last year, I went on the Friday and now I went on the Saturday. So maybe there were just more people, but I definitely took more pictures of great cosplay. I checked out some games. So, Robin, you were saying we need more exclusives in this country, and we kind of got that. There were a lot of games that have not been released yet, and we got quote-unquote exclusive demos. So the two big ones were probably, what are they called? Luigi's Mansion 3 and The Witcher 3 on Nintendo Switch, and the Iron Man VR was also for show, and there was just... there was about five or six games that haven't been released yet, and they were on show. And I know Rage has that sometimes, but there was a larger amount of them this year. But there wasn't anything worldwide exclusive, right? We didn't get a movie announcement. We didn't get a casting announcement. There wasn't anything big like that. And in terms of the celebrities who came, it was kind of unfortunate that they had two big cancellations before the event went live. The biggest one being Anthony Mackie. He cancelled the day before. It was
absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. So for everyone who's not caught up on that, he also cancelled last year. He was supposed to be at Comic-Con Africa. He was one of the big guests. and there was the hurricane, and he couldn't come. And this year, the excuse was that production on a movie or something he's working on overseas got delayed, so he couldn't get on a plane. Lots of people asking about refunds, and the exhibitors actually gave people refunds. I need to speak. I don't know if anyone took them up on that. I'm sure some people did. So going through, that's the kind of feeling, you know. We got Rage coming up in just a few days, depending on when you listen to this. And it's just like, man, they're all starting to blend together. I'm seeing the same people at the same events. And, you know, it's good. I'm never going to complain that there's more events like this in the country. It's just that they keep plugging away at the same thing and hoping people come. And people do come. But it's just getting tiring, especially with Comic-Con being an extra day this year. You have to wonder how many people who did Rage and Comic-Con last year are going to do the same thing this year, especially if they're buying like weekend passes for all of the days. I enjoyed it, and I really have to hand it to the organizers. It was a big step up from last year. And I guess one of the big takeaways is they're obviously making strides, advancements. They're obviously iterating on each event. And, you know, like what Robin said, maybe in a few years when it's established and a lot of people are coming, then we'll get that exclusive stuff, right? You just never know. And it's growing every year. And the app was a big help as well. You know, every event has an app and people kind of moan about it. But on the one hand, the entire Comic-Con convention and all the halls, as far as I could tell, had free Wi-Fi throughout all of them. And I know, Brendan, you do security stuff and you hate free open Wi-Fi with no password and everything, but it was there for people who needed it. And there was also an app. So when something happened, like they had a big celebrity on the main stage, the app would actually alert you, which I thought was really cool. It's exactly what you want, and not just event apps, which are like, oh, here's the floor plan, I guess. So, great overall, but nothing too exclusive yet, right? And like I said, I really enjoy going to these, and I'm just hoping that they don't do it again next year with the celebrities promise to come for months and then pull out the day before, because, you know, first time, shame on you. And this time, I know a lot of people I spoke to don't want to name names, but they kind of felt like suckers for falling for it again. So I understand these things, they happen, and life is unpredictable. But for it to happen 2 years in a row is, I wouldn't say unforgivable. This is real bad.
I would say unforgivable.
No,
I wouldn't go that far.
Just disappointing, I think.
Yeah. The other thing is that Comic-Con Cape Town is actually happening in May next year, which is, you know, a solid chunk of months away, but it's not a year away. So we're going to have another look at what these organizers can do very soon. And we're going to see if they can pull the same stuff. And you have to wonder if Comic-Con Africa is going to bring in Comic-Con Cape Town will bring in as many people as Comic-Con Africa, because, you know, last year the Saturday sold out. This year the Saturday sold out once again. We don't have the numbers of how many people came as of yet. We have estimates, but estimates don't really count for anything. So, yeah, we'll have to see. I'm really happy with it.
Sorry, Clinton, I just wanted to interrupt you there.
Sure.
But I do think maybe the Cape Town one will be a bit more attractive to celebrities, given that they all basically live there anyway. I don't know. Maybe it might be more of a draw given the location, because Joburg is a dust bowl. And Cape Town has the sea and the mountain, brah.
Well,
so maybe.
I mean, technically, Cape Town's more of a bowl, isn't it? It's got the mountains. If they Google Cape Town, they probably, if you're in the US and you Google Cape Town, you're probably going to get a lot of stuff about tourism. Where if you Google Joburg, you're going to get stuff like, oh, there's the Joburg Stock Exchange and it was mining here a long time ago. And I know what you mean, Brendan. If a celebrity overseas gets pitched, they'll look it up and there'll be pictures on Google, be like, oh, that looks like a nice holiday.
Exactly.
And I'm willing to go to Africa for maybe less money than an American convention because it looks interesting. and someone's going to fly me there first class, presumably.
Also,
so I understand, but I have to wonder how many local people are going to go, because, you know, if we're here in Joburg, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not too keen to go to Cape Town to go to another Comic-Con. But we'll see. Maybe they announced they just got the gangbuster celebrities to go to Cape Town because of what Brendan said, and then people in Joburg are like, well, I mean, I have to go now. I still wish they'll just take up us up on the idea of making the Comic-Con themed after Wakanda and Marvel, and just get all the actors, the local actors from those movies in this. But that's pipe dream, and I'm tired of talking about it. If you didn't go to Comic-Con, check out our stories on it. I actually do suggest going. I think it was 160 Rand per day, and then if you got a 4-day pass, it was slightly cheaper. But I think it's worth the money. And, you know, it depends on why you're going. If you're going to be in cosplay contests, there was a lot of that. If you want to play board games, there was a lot of that. If you want to buy stuff on sale, I don't know about that, because a lot of the stuff looked like it was just market price, and there was only one or two stores who had actual big discounts. So it's the typical fare, and if you're tuning in, listening to this, or speaking to friends about it, nothing insane happened except for the celebrities who did show up, like William Shatner. You could have met him and had your photo off, like, and I think it was another 160 Rand. That's Comic-Con Africa. We'll be there next year. I don't know if any of us are going to the Cape Town one, but maybe we'll see. Maybe I'll go because I'll have a really good celebrity, and I'll be like, well, damn, now I've got to go. So that's in May. We'll see you then. And then Comic-Con Africa 2020 will be around this time next year. And we're going to pass it back to Brendan, because cool. We have to do more phone stuff.
Yeah. So
what's the note, Brendan? Tell us.
Yeah, so I've been using the Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus for the past 2 weeks, and it is very, very good. My daily drive is usually the S10 Plus, which is the biggest and best version of the S10 series. So it seemed only fitting to review the follow-up to that, the Note 10 Plus, and it is insane. So to start off, it's running Samsung's Exynos 9825 processor, which is a 7-nanometer process. The CPU in the S10 is a 8-nanometer process, and then in the Note 9, it's a 10-nanometer process. So in terms of performance, this handset beats everything from Samsung in the last 2 years. It is incredible. Whether you are running games or multitasking, or running games while multitasking, it is incredible. It performs really, really well. And the other upside of having a 7-nanometer process, I can't say that word, is that you get a really long battery life, because that processor is sipping battery life. So on average, I'm getting about 2 full days of charge and life out of it, with a charge being needed at the end of the day. And on less busy days, you'll be able to get like 2.5 days. So at lunchtime the next day, you'll need to charge it up. But even then, charging takes like 1.5 hours. And if you charge it for 1 hour, you'll get about 80% of your battery life, which is really, really good.
That's a quick charge, right?
Sorry?
That's a quick charge, right?
Yeah, fast charge. So you do get a fast charger in the box. It is a – let me not lie to you. I'm sitting in front of it right now. It doesn't say on here. I think it's a 48-watt fast charger. Super fast charging, they call it. It's USB Type-C to USB Type-C, so there's no slowdown there. And it's, yeah. The battery in total is 4,300 milliamp hours. So it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And if you're very careful with, having the always display, always on display, or changing the resolution to, like, HD rather than the full QWHD+, you can get the battery life to go even longer. There's very little to fault this phone about. The display is really beautiful. The S Pen is nice and useful, and it has some new cool features. So you can do like gestures. So you can like press the button on the S Pen and then twirl it around, and then you can either zoom in with the camera or zoom out, or you can swipe through the air and it'll go to the next thing in your gallery. Or if you're in a presentation, you can click and swipe through the air and it'll go to the next thing. It's very much a gimmick, I'll admit that. It's not like something I'm going to use every day, but it is a cool feature. And I mean, it's hard to say, well, because the S Pen now has added functionality, it's going to lose points. I mean, there's very little to go, oh, this is bad. The cameras, there are four, but in the camera bump, you'll only see three, which is the 12 megapixel sensors and a 16 megapixel sensor. And then the time of flight camera is just off to the side so that you can get like some really nice, good looking photos. What is really nice though is the front facing camera. It's just a single 10 megapixel sensor, but it is really, really good. Overall, the cameras are really, really nice. I mean, it's basically an upgrade over the S10 Plus from earlier this year, just with some added functionality, some better selfies. So you can now take like live focus selfies that you can then edit afterwards. There's a bit of light video editing software on the phone natively. It's very difficult to criticize this phone for anything wrong with it because there's so much right with it. Even the fact that the USB or the 3.5 millimeter jack has been removed, like I can live with, because Samsung gives you AKG earphones with a USB Type-C connector. So, I mean, there's that. That's really nice. Even the fact that they've removed the Bixby button and now kind of remapped it to the unlock button. So you can actually remap that in software to just be a power button again and also not have Bixby activated at all. So like you can now with a Bixby button remap to like I have it remapped to Spotify, you can do the same thing here as well as have it mapped as your power button. So you can have long press for power and double press for Spotify. And yeah, it works pretty well.
So, Brandon, I have the last iteration, Note 10.
Mm-hmm. Note 9.
Note 9.
Sorry, the Note 9. Sorry. Flipping everything's 10 nowadays. X with everything. So I want to talk about some differences real quick. First of all, the pen does have that new functionality because there's a gyro inside of it. And the pen in the Note 9 is a little bit dumber. It's basically just a button and a coil inside that holds charge. So it's cool that they're adding more stuff, but I've had this phone for a year now, and the only time I ever take the pen out is so I can play Noughts and Crosses on the Notes app with my nephew. So I completely understand, like, when you get it, you play around with it, and then you never use it again. But it's cool that it has more stuff. I'm sure people will find ways to use it. So in terms of batteries, so that's interesting. You're saying, because I don't know how much battery degradation has happened to the unit I have, but I still get a full day, but I do need to charge it a lot. Maybe I use it more for work and stuff than the average person, but you getting 2 to 3 days is kind of crazy.
So I must just put a bit of a disclaimer here. I've only had the phone for 2 weeks. The first couple of days of using the phone are very much used for updating software, making sure that all the updates I need are there, and then I start using the phone. And let's be honest, 2 weeks is not a long time. You can't really tell somebody that this battery is going to give you 2 days for a year. Your use case will change. The battery, like you say, battery degradation is something you must take into account. So yeah, take that 2 days with a grain of salt, and also be mindful that Samsung batteries have a tendency of degrading very quickly. The S10 that I have, the S10 Plus, I'm already having to charge that every single day. And this phone was giving me close on 2 days of battery life when I first got it. So be mindful of that. If you, the one thing to be grateful for is the fact that you have a big battery in this phone that charges quickly. So yeah, I mean, the degradation is something you should take into account, and it is definitely something that Samsung isn't very well known for. So yeah. Just
so another thing I also wanted to mention is the size. So if you go on like GSM Arena and compare the sizes of my regular Note 10 to your Note 9, to your Note 10 Plus. Oh my God. I don't know what's wrong with me. You'll see that the sizes are very comparable, but Brendan has a much larger screen. They've really put more screen into it without making the body bigger. And the way they've done that is by getting rid of more bezel. So I saw the phone the other day, Brendan had it, and I was a little bit shocked because his Note 10 Plus is actually a bit thinner than my Note 9, but it's a little wider and taller, and then the screen is just much bigger. It's actually a bit shocking.
Going the screen literally goes from the top to the bottom and side to side. And then, I don't have like a problem where I accidentally touch the side of the phone, only when I'm like reaching over. But even then, it's like the size is big, and I think you might want to go with a normal S10 if you want a bit of a small Note 10 if you want a bit of a smaller phone. But I mean, like you say, it's basically the same size as the Note 9.
What I really like, you mentioned it there. If like me, you had a Note 9 and you want the new Note, but you thought the Note 9 was always too big. The Note 10, the regular 10, is smaller than the Note 9, but it still has, I think it's about the screen. So you can actually do that. If you're fine with the screen size, but you want a smaller phone, you can just immediately upgrade to a Note 9. But here's the thing. How much? Very expensive.
So, okay, so retail for this phone is 20,000 Rand. $20,000. But as of right now, as I speak, there is a special on where you can get it for 20% less if you buy it cash. But if you're buying this at any other time, it's $20,000, which is a lot of money. Can't beat around the bush with that. It is a lot of money. However, if you are looking for a new phone and you exclusively use premium devices, and Apple has disappointed you with its latest iPhone 11 and iPhone 11 Pro, and you're not interested in it anymore, and you're worried about Huawei, then this is your choice. The S10 is great. That's fine. The Note 9 is still good. But the Note 10 Plus is hands down the best phone I've used ever. That's not just saying the best Samsung ever. I mean, best phone I've used, period. Of course, I haven't used Huawei's latest phone, so that could change. But I think that... Sorry?
I'm just saying, I don't think there'll be quite a few people that would have tried it out yet.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think this is Samsung's best phone to date. If you look at something like the Note 7 that blew up and kind of tainted my feeling for the Note series, I was very worried when I heard that this phone had a bigger battery in it, because that was the Note 7's claim to fame. And looking at this phone now, Samsung has come a very long way. It's a sleek device. It works incredibly. The 7-nanometer process is, oh man, you have to use it to understand how good it is. Yeah, absolutely the best phone I've used in a very long time. And it gets a hearty recommendation from me. And with that,
We have the review of that sometime in the future. Like Brendan said, 2 weeks isn't enough for a device you're supposed to use like every 10 minutes. So Brendan's going to put more time into that, and we'll hear more about it. Maybe we'll have a follow-up podcast in a week or two where Brendan will say, you know, this has changed, this is better, this is worse. And I'm looking forward to that because the Note 9 was my first Samsung, and I've loved it ever since I got it. So I'm very happy with it, and it sounds like they've made lots of improvements.
Yeah. So I think with that, it's going to be us from us. That's going to be it from us. Thank you so much to Clinton Matos.
Hey, goodbye, everybody.
And from Robin Cheney.
As always.
And we'll see you next week. Cheers. Bye.